We are about to start our third year of podcasting, and as we look back, there is one thing we cannot deny.
It's because of you, our listeners, our day ones, our international coalition. Indy, I see you.
You came to our live shows, listened to thousands of episodes, responded with likes and comments on our social media, and helped us make moves in an industry where everyone has a podcast.
We have released over 250 episodes, serving you some of our best analysis and interviewing some of the biggest names, along with those making an impact in the wrestling industry.
So we just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just wanted to say thank you, I guess.
Come on, Matt Michaels, be nice.
Go! Prepare yourself for another year of...
Welcome to another edition of Wrestling Talk.
This is the DeFalco Files with the one and only Joe DeFalco.
This is Three Count.
Hey everybody, it's Matt Michaels, and this is People I Don't Hate.
Prepare yourselves for another year of douchebaggery, hijinks, and some talking out of the ass from all of us at the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.
The DeFalco Files is an entertainment-based program. Some memories of certain events might be fuzzy. All opinions are that of the host. Content might not be appropriate for children and some adults. Listener discretion is advised. And remember, the truth is here. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting presents The DeFalco Files with FSW owner Joe DeFalco and your host, Matt Michaels.
Hey everybody, it's Matt Michaels here on The DeFalco Files with the owner, the creator, the mind behind Future Stars of Wrestling, FSW here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, how you doing?
Oh, wonderful. Words can't describe it.
Let's bring a ray of sunshine into the room right now. She is the now former FSW Women's Heavyweight Champion.
Can't believe it. Can't believe she lost.
I'll get it back. It's all right.
Lacey Ryan, how you doing, Lacey? I am out of it myself this morning. How are you?
Well, unlike Joe's sarcastic answer, I'm doing fantastic. I'm doing great.
I want to start, Joe, if you could just give a little bit of an idea for listeners and viewers of what the FSW women's division was like in reality and in your mind, you know, the two verses before Lacey got to FSW.
Well, my mind is reality, so I was never delusional to not believe it, first off. So regardless what other people said, that didn't affect me in any way. You know, early on in the growth of FSW, you know, the one thing we would always hear was, hey, bro, we love FSW, but when are you going to have some of the girls on? And, you know, it took a while and we finally did. Then we finally started getting, you know, some women that signed up to really help things out. There was a guy named Eric who had this idea of Future Stars of Women's Wrestling that would be under our banner and he would run it. So at that point, we had sporadically used, you know, a few people like Heather Monroe
right.
to go along with Maserati. I think Sandra Moon was just coming up, but there still wasn't really a division, I guess you could say.
Right.
So at that point, Eric wanted to, we had already crowned a champion. We finally decided it was time to make the move and Heather Monroe became the champ.
Okay.
And I'm not going to, I'm not going to lie. I'm not positive on the time frame, but I know that match was a three-way elimination match at Samstown. So I can't tell you if the FSW women's show was first or it was after Heather Monroe.
Okay. Yeah.
But at that point, you know, we still didn't have that many women, you know, to work with, you know, at the time. And we had come across using John Morrison at one of the Mecca shows. Kevin Cross hooked it up. And basically, John was like, hey, since Cross set up the deal, it wasn't like I talked to John. It was like, hey, we got John coming in, and this is the price. And Taya was included in the price. So at that point, she's, you know, in AAA, pretty well known. Why wouldn't I want to use her, you right. know? And at that point, we ended up deciding to use Taya. And after some conversations, she was willing to stick around. So we felt it would be really good for the division and the growth of having someone who was at the top of their game and was well known throughout the throughout the country.
Right.
And the title got put on Taya. And, you know, a lot of people then started complaining like, oh, but she's never around to defend the title and blah, blah, blah. And it was like, well, the majority of the bigger shows she actually did wrestle on.
Right.
One or two, like, conflicts where obviously if she was wrestling at Impact or AAA, we couldn't use her. And we did not have anybody that we felt was ready to become the FSW Women's Champion. I did not believe Maserati was ready, and I did not believe that Sandra Moon was ready, and wasn't really looking to rehash things and putting the belt back on Heather Monroe. So we were kind of in a holding pattern. When we can use Taya, we can bring some people in. You know, she was supposed to work Jessica Havoc, you know, and, you know, issues caused that not to happen. And, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, fast forward, we needed somebody. And then, like a godsend, Lacey Ryan was brought to FSW.
I don't know about a godsend, but okay.
Well, Lacey, let's take now your side of the path to FSW. How long had you been training? And at what point did you first hear about Future Stars of Wrestling?
I've actually known about Future Stars of Wrestling when I started in 2012 at Salt Lake City under UCW. I've been wanting to actually wrestle there for a while, so it's funny how things actually end up working out. But, you know, I've been training for about 7 years, you know, okay. training under Tom Howard. And we were in Texas, and things weren't going right in Texas. You know, we were just like, okay, I think it's time for a move. Nothing's really happening here for my career. And, you know, luckily with Tom's job, we're able to move wherever we would like.
Sure.
So, Sonoma Vegas, just that gut instinct. It was like, I think it's time to move back down towards this way and get a place in Vegas. So we did, and I actually messaged Brian Vig. I don't know if you know him or not, but he told me to reach out to Joe DeFalco. And that's when I did, and Joe said, yeah, come on down. And, you know, he saw what I could do, I guess, and said, hey, let's make a deal. You come and you help out every once in a while, and you can train here. So I was not going to turn down that kind of deal, you know. So, but, yeah, I've always wanted to wrestle at FSW. I knew that.
Joe, did you have any idea who Lacey was other than, you know, getting, you know, to talk to her, a message from her about wanting to go to school?
No, what happened was Big Vig, that was his wrestling name, Brian Vig.
Right.
Big Vig used to work with us on and off with Manny Lemons when we would use the Utah crew. And I like Big Vig a lot. And when he reached out to me, and he said she was good, you know, I respected him. So right. I figured, okay, absolutely. She's going to be here anyway. I honestly had not heard of her before. You know, I heard of a few of the girls from Utah, and most of them were the shits. So it was like, that's kind of weird that this one was really good and I never heard of her. So we brought her in. She was around. So it's like, hey, we got a match, and didn't really see what she could do. And then she had the match. And to be honest with you, it wasn't free training. We charged her for the first month.
The first one, yeah.
We're going to give you, you know, you're a veteran. We're just going to charge you a ring fee.
Yeah.
And we're going to charge you the ring fee and in lieu of payments for certain things or whatever for working. So she does the first match, and we were all like, holy shit, she's really good. And it was like, at that point, next time I saw her, I'm like, hey, by the way, your gym fee's waived. We knew we had, you know, somebody really, really talented. And then she worked another match and another match. And it was like, all right. We ended up having a Mecca. And the idea was we were going to move the belt to somebody local, which means now we had somebody who could wrestle on the school shows. The yeah. problem with Lacey was because we didn't have that many women, she had to wrestle guys. But the thing was, you know, whether people consider it a negative statement, like a lot of times you'll say, hey, that girl is really good for a girl.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody will always say, hey, you know what? Lacey Ryan is really good. End of story.
Yeah.
And that's how she, how good she is. You know, I remember back in the day when China was part of WWE and WWF, and they made it believable that she can beat a Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
So we're okay with that. And I need it to be believable. I remember years ago in PWG, Candice LeRae is wrestling Rich Swann. And I love the finish of how she won, but it was just like strike for strike. And certain things you just didn't believe because she was so small. Yeah. And not that Rich Swann is huge, but he's still 50 pounds more than her. Well, when you watch Lacey and she's wrestling guys, you believe there's a few of them she could knock out on her own. So, you know, when you watch her, you're watching a skilled professional, and it's amazing that nobody really took notice of her until she came to FSW. She got some spotlight matches. Impact was in town. She got to be on that. And we were trying to feed her some, you know, good people to work. And, you know, she got to work Tessa at the last show before we did closed everything down. And it's just, you know, amazing that having her for such a short time, she's accomplished so much.
Lacey, what was the training like? Before you got to FSW, were you basically wrestling with the guys in terms of training? Or, you know, were some of the women that were around worth anything for you to grow? Or was it, you know, what was that experience like before you got to come here and start wrestling at the school?
I've always trained with guys. I'm a big believer that girls should always be training with guys because they're going to push you to the next level. You know, some are going to be scared to, you know, kind of push them. But when you find the right people, they will make sure that you're working hard, if not harder than them.
Yeah.
So I've always worked with guys, and I personally love it. There are girls who push me as well. But it was also kind of hard to find girls that are, you know, working to that level.
Right.
You know what I mean? So the guys, I've always wanted to do that. I want to, you know, like Joe said, I don't want to be a good wrestler for a girl.
Right.
I want to be a great wrestler, period. You know, and for me, that road was wrestling with guys. And then having Thomas, my trainer, you know, anytime I would complain, he would say, shut up, get back in the ring, you can do it again. You know, so it's tough love.
That is so true. When you first get to FSW and you start training, who were some of the initial people that you felt either like a connection with or comfortable with in the ring that you were like, hey, this is going to be a decent spot for me?
Just in training or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I call them the boys, you know, Damian Drake and Matt Vandegrift, those two, you know, we just have some type of chemistry where it really works out. And Jay Vidal, now that he's officially back from Florida, you know, he's a part of our training group and he's another guy that I have, you know, we have great chemistry with each other. So those three in general from the 8 years that I've been wrestling are the ones where it just, we just mesh really, really well. You know, I think of them like my brothers.
Yeah. That's, you know, that's phenomenal. The, if people look at your social media or Vandegrift or Damian or Jay, you'll occasionally get videos of, you know, the training and new stuff that's being done. Have you found during this time of the coronavirus that you've been able to not only train your body, you know, consistently, but also in the ring, start kind of facing any type of things that you might have been hesitant about before, you know, moving on to, you know, try different things. Has that been like just a learning process for you this whole time?
Oh, yeah. Yes, it definitely was a big learning process. Like, if we're just going to say training in general, you know, when you have so much free time, you just start trying new things, you know, like the Phoenix Splash or 450, which, you know, I still blame Matt Vandegrift for making me do because he's always pushing me to go to the next level. You know, between Damian Drake and Matt Vandegrift, they're teaching me so many different things, you know. This week's supposed to be a moonsault. We'll see. I don't know. You know.
Is that, Joe, is that for you, you know, I guess kind of, I want to say fun to see as a fan aspect of it, that you have three people who are basically pushing the boundaries of what they can do to just kind of see if they can do more. Does that just make you like excited or proud to see these guys putting in so much work?
Well, it's amazing because Lacey is, I always say, the top unsigned female talent.
Yeah.
She's the hardest worker still.
Yeah.
The thing is, complacency is the ugly thing that rears its head, because a lot of people are comfortable in positions they're at, and once they get there, they don't feel it's necessary to work harder. Right. And guys that are just starting, whether they're beginner students or beginner wrestlers on shows, those people should be there more than everybody. But when Damian Drake and Matt Vandegrift and Lacey are there more than everybody, it shows you how much passion they have, that despite loving being a part of FSW and it's awesome, they want to be national superstars.
Right.
And they keep pushing and pushing and pushing till the day they get the call. And, you know, in some cases, you know, Damian Drake and Vandegrift, they've gotten some opportunities with Conan and AAA.
Yeah.
And he's got to wrestle on Impact. And I know a lot of people are interested in, and she's got a huge buzz around her. And if they didn't do that, they started getting their initial success, they wouldn't be getting that buzz. They wouldn't be getting those calls. And the thing is, there's a lot of other really talented people that maybe if they were there 3-4 days a week, Lacey, Matt, and Damian Drake, they aren't just there when there's training. They come in every day they can. Anytime they got free time, they are there. You know, I'll walk in, they're there. And it's crazy. It's like, wow, you guys beat me again. And it's like 2 o'clock, training start till 5, you know, because they want to get their stuff in. And then they're extremely helpful when it comes to the younger students.
Yeah.
So they don't take time away from them, only occasionally when Lacey's trying to film some stuff. and a class, but in most cases, she's really good about it.
Hey, it's all about the social media, Joe.
Yes.
Especially during a time like this, it's social media.
I heard you're up to 204 followers. You're doing good.
Yes, yes. You know, it's a lot better than what it was, you know, 2 years ago.
There you go. See? Yeah.
Well, we will hopefully get you about 2 to 3 more followers. So,
hopefully.
Yeah,
yes,
knock on wood. when you first wrestled a match here, let's say, you know, I think first match that you had here was pretty much a school match, right?
Yeah, against Andrew Moon.
What was your reaction to the fans for FSW? Were you expecting the passionate base that this company has? It's, to me, one of the most remarkable things, because it's really hard to find, you know, independent wrestling companies that are, you know, have fans that, you know, draw, you know, the house shows, the student shows are packed, the casino shows are packed. What did that kind of mean to you?
That was actually really crazy to see, because, you know, I've lived in a few states where I wrestled, and no fans around there were as passionate as FSW fans. FSW fans would make sure that they're there at every single show, which is crazy, because Joe will walk in and say, you know, so-and-so bought, like, 10 tickets for a group for the next 5 shows or whatever. So that, just hearing that, it's great to hear that there's so many passionate people in Las Vegas for FSW. So that was very, very refreshing.
And when,
especially getting,
well, I was gonna, oh, go ahead. I was gonna say, and when you come out and you're wrestling someone like Sandra Moon in front of a crowd for the first time, did you realize how she had a following because of the fact that she grew up through FSW? Was that kind of interesting to see that, oh, wait a minute here, like, these fans really gravitate to people they know?
Yes, that was very interesting to see. And I didn't know at that time that Sandra Moon was taking kids' classes before this. You know, before I even knew about all of that, I just kind of figured she came in and, you know, been wrestling for a year or two. So getting to know her and, you know, hearing that she wrestled as a kid, that's amazing, because I wanted to do that. I tried finding wrestling schools, and they were like, no, you got to wait till you're 18.
Yeah.
Sorry. You know, so Joe allowing kids to do that, that's amazing, having these kid camps and, you know, giving kids a glimpse of what they could be doing in the future.
Joe, I know, Joe, we've kind of talked about it a little bit before, but what to you does the kids' class mean to developing eventual, you know, future wrestlers for you? And how long have the kids' classes been going for?
We've been doing the kids' classes since the old school. So that was probably 2011. You know, it kind of petered off for a little bit and stuff. When Leon Hader kind of took over everything, it really started to mesh, because he had good relationships, not only with the kids, but with the parents.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we said, a lot of these kids, VIP and Lazarus, and even before that was Spider.
Right.
You know, he was the first kid that really kind of was able to train in the regular classes. And, you know, everybody talks about our guy Bodie. He's 14 years old.
Yeah. And
he's been around for, he's a 6-year veteran. You know, he's wrestling almost as long as Lacey. You know,
he's,
but
the thing is,
you know, in the first few years in the kids class, they're really not doing a lot. It's more about having fun. And initially nobody was thinking like, hey, these guys, you know, it's like the minor leagues to regular training, because a lot of the stuff that you get in regular training, you won't get there. But it's getting the kids to maybe exercise a little bit more than they normally would, because now they're running the ropes. It's a fun thing to do, but it's still running. And normally you can't get them to run, but they'll run the ropes, they'll do the drills. And, you know, some of the boys may not like the idea of gymnastics, but when they're in a wrestling ring and they got to do rolls, no, it's cool because it's a wrestling move.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of, and I would say 95% of the kids who do it, the parents get them involved because they're wrestling fans. They want their kids to do something. Maybe they don't want to do jujitsu. Maybe they don't want to do karate. They love wrestling. They want to be the next John Cena. And then all of a sudden, they do that, and they're 15, they're 16, they're 17. Like, oh, can we train in the adult class? And it's like, you guys have the basics at least under wraps, because that's the one thing you don't want. You don't want to bring in a kid who has no knowledge of anything. It slows down the class. It makes people upset, you know. And, you know, after they've had done stuff, now it's okay to be in the adult class, and we've had good success with a good amount of the kids that started there.
Lacey, when you, you know, start getting the experience here in front of the crowd, at what point did you start feeling comfortable enough that you could now step into the casino setting, which is, you know, what, 5 to 10 times the people that they can fit in there? What was that adjustment like? And was that the first time too for you to experience, you know, the bigger setting, the rampway, the, you know, all the technicalities that come with having to figure out where camera is and, you know, the basics to a, like an arena setup?
Yeah, that was my first time. And I don't think there's a certain amount of number of matches that you can have to make you feel comfortable. As soon as you see it, it's overwhelming and it's exciting and there's so many different emotions going on. There's no number of matches. Like, oh, okay, yeah, now I'm ready.
Yeah.
You know, if Joe puts you in that position, it's because Joe thinks that you're ready for that position. You know, so that was my first time in a bigger stage where, okay, now I got to worry about hard cam. I got to worry about roaming. How do I do my entrance? Where do I, like, how do I position myself? So all of that was a whole new ballgame, you know? I had to learn every single step of that. And because of the people that are the trainers at FSW,
yeah,
that's what really helped me take my game to the next level, you know? You know, people like Sin Bodhi, D'Lo, Kenny King, and then a few people that I don't normally train there, but, you know, cheerleader Melissa, Allison Danger, all of these people really helped me train for TV style matches.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So being able to do that, like, I can't even watch my first match, the Thai Attic Casino match. I have a really hard time because I can spot so many things I'm doing wrong and it drives me nuts, you know?
So, not one of her best efforts.
No, not one of my best efforts. It was an
That won't go down on the Best of Lacey Ryan DVD, for sure.
Sadly, you already put that in the Best of Lacey Ryan. I've watched it, so I think it's time to change that up.
Yeah, you didn't have that many matches at the time, so I guess they had to scramble.
Yeah.
Well,
sure.
What is the experience like working, you know, a show like that with someone like Taya, who has a wonderful reputation of being a very good giver? You know, you watch her in the ring, she gives. You know, is that just racked to like, you know, the nerves and the setting, or just also not having you know, much time to work with someone like Taya, because she's coming in and you pretty much get to see her the day of, and let's just go out there and do it. You know, is this, I guess the question is all the experience that you're getting in a situation like that just helping you to grow to where you can look back in the match and, of course, you'll see things that you could have done better, or you feel that you might have messed up, or, you know, you look at the negatives, but you can also see the positives. Is that something that, you know, is just kind of helping the growth for you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Somebody like Taya, she was very giving and she was very sweet. Those mistakes are all on me and things that I just never experienced before. So, of course, I'm going to make those mistakes. But Taya was awesome and she was willing to work with me. And but, you know, when you go back and watch those, it is a positive because it helps me realize how far I have actually came. you know,
yeah,
watching those negatives and everything. I always joke with Melissa how bad, like, it's when I was wearing my camo gear with the long tights and everything, looking very indie-rific, you know.
It wasn't very rific either.
No, it was not very rific. Thanks, Joe. And that's one thing I do like about Joe. If you want an honest evaluation, he will give it to you. He will not hold back.
Joe, what after you saw that match with Taya, you know, you're getting the belt onto Lacey. What were your thoughts of how you develop her character at that point, instead of, you know, because obviously she has a lot of in-ring skills. You can see this. What do you feel about the further development of the character and Lacey getting comfortable with talking?
Well, that was definitely one of her weaker points, without a doubt. And you also can't really be that good at it if you don't do it a lot.
Right.
You know, under the tutelage of Tom Howard, I can't believe he didn't have her cutting promos every single day. But, you know, fortunately for her, when people watched her in the ring, she didn't have to talk.
Yeah.
You know, people were impressed at what they saw, and people really started getting behind her because she was that talented. You know, if she's a B wrestler and can't talk, it's really going to be harder for her to get over. But being she's one of those few A wrestlers, then it's okay that she's a little bit more limited. You know, and, you know, she worked on it. Like, when she first came in against Sandra Moon, you know, technically, I believe at the time, Sandra was a heel working with Thomas Day and that faction. But being that she had a lot of family and friends in the audience, and she was a homegrown talent, she was going to get cheered anyway. So Lacey was kind of in that no-win situation, to where she's coming in as a baby face against the heel, but everybody likes the heel and nobody knows the baby face. So there's not much of a reaction coming in, like, oh, who's this? Oh boy. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they could see her work. And then the fans need to know that, okay, well, we saw her work once, she's coming back. And then when she comes back, and then she's back, and then she's here again, and it's like, oh, she's a regular. Yeah. Now they're starting to dig it. And when she beat Taya, you know, I can't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure there was a pretty big pop in, from the Samstown crowd that Lacey Ryan became the new women's champion. And, you know, that was a great moment for us, you know. And she held the belt longer than anybody. Not that we have the longest history of women's title, but, you know, she held it as long as, you know, we felt necessary. Not to say she won't get it again. You know,
right.
She has other people to deal with. You know, she didn't lose to Maserati. You know, Strella basically beat Lacey Ryan, so
yeah,
sometime soon. You know, some people, you know, want to bite off a little bit more than they can chew. And, you know, Strella is one of our young up and coming, you know, women stars, and her having a match with Lacey Ryan's only going to help her.
Yeah. Speaking of that, Lacey, how have you felt that you've been able to mentor some of the younger talent like Estrella? You know, just having you around, have you been able to, you know, give them a little advice, work with them, help them kind of develop and go along towards, you know, achieving what you've been able to achieve, and that is, you know, really good in work quality, in ring work quality?
Yeah, well, I don't ever really think of myself as a mentor, you know. I just want to pass on the knowledge that people pass on to me. So when I see Estrella and she's working in the ring and everything at training, I am more than happy to jump in and show her a few things. And you know, tell her which way, you know, footing, let's say, you know, how to do certain footing or certain moves, or why are you doing this move in this position? I'm always happy to help out as far as that goes. You know, like Joe said, I'm there all the time. So I can, I'm always, it's my passion. That's what I love to do. I love to pass on knowledge, and I love to do wrestling in general. And, you know, it's just one of those things where when you see somebody struggling, you want to help them.
Yeah.
You know, so.
How, you know, you get a chance to wrestle some, you know, people like Taya, people like Tessa. For you, did you go into those matches at any point feeling like, you know, hey, I can't blow this? Or did you go into it feeling like, this is going to be a fun opportunity for me to, you know, mix it up with someone who I could potentially see in down the line in, you know, some company? I mean, was it a learning aspect for you, or a meshing aspect, or was it more like, oh shit, I better perform?
A combination, you know. I was excited to mix it up with somebody new, and then just, I can't screw this up. I can't blow it, which I kind of did, you know. I did blow it, you know. I went for a springboard and completely flipped. And it's just one of those things. So I think
that was the student's fault. They didn't wipe the ropes down right. Not your fault. It was theirs.
It is their fault, Joe. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You know, I blamed on the person before spitting water onto the rope. So, hey. But, yeah, it was a mix of all of the above, you know. But what can I say? I blew it, and it was a learning process, and Taya was great. She was willing to work with me, and she helped me out a lot during that time.
And working so with someone like Tessa, you know, you got to know Tessa a little bit. Was that a great thing to, you know, get a chance to connect with someone like her and, you know, develop a little bit more of a friendship, you know, or a working relationship outside of just being in the ring?
Yeah, with Tessa, she's been great, and she taught me a lot as well. And we both have a pretty good friendship. It's mainly based on bodybuilding and working out. We'll send each other workouts and stuff like that. You know, but she's another fantastic person. People, you know, luckily Joe put these people in front of me.
And Joe, when you get a chance to have someone like Lacey, are you able to get other talent like a Tessa, knowing that they would, you know, knowing they could face someone like Lacey?
I'm not sure how it works on that end. You know, we got Tessa through doing the Toy Con. They were interested, but, you know, in my mindset, it was like, pricing wise, we didn't feel that we can afford what she was asking for. But we knew if we can work a deal with the Toy Con that we would be able to work a better deal for two nights. And we wanted Lacey to have, you know, a big time match. So, you know, we're going to go back a little. And we'll talk about when Lacey, you say about who she got to work and the Tayas and the Tessas. I knew that she was on people's radar when she got to wrestle Jordynne Grace for the Impact title on an Impact taping. Yeah. And I was actually standing there with Tom, and we were watching the match. And probably about 5 or 6 minutes in, Lacey missed a big move, and Jordynne Grace hit her. And we're like, oh, it's over. And it was like, Lacey kicked out. And all of a sudden, it became this back-and-forth match for a lot longer. And it was like, wow. An unsigned talent basically just went 50-50 with the women's champion.
Yeah.
So we knew at that point, like, okay, Well, if she's on Impact's radar, she's on everybody's radar. Like, they know who she is. And fast forwarding it to, you know, her working Tessa, they had a really, really good match. So, you know, if you're saying that the best women wrestler in the world, because that's what a lot of people say about Tessa, just went toe-to-toe with Lacey and she was right there from beginning to end, well, where does that place Lacey? You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, you know, it got a lot of views. People seen it. You know, people inside AEW, the Fed, they know what's going on with everybody. Look at who they're signing. You know, they're signing the Rascals. They're, you know, they're signing tons of indie guys that you would think, oh, okay, well, yeah, I don't think they really signed them. But they do.
Yeah.
Oh, it was like I was really shocked when I saw Ryan Taylor getting signed. You know what I mean? So it's like he's a guy who in 2009, you know, he was going to work one of our shows, and he did later on. But that guy was grinding for 16 years.
Yeah.
And you know, bouncing around, but he never got a big opportunity. And now all of a sudden, on the 15th year, you know, he was on Ring of Honor. He's on New Japan. And now he signed with the Fed. So it's like they are always watching. Everybody's watching everybody. It's amazing how many people have been signed, yet how many people are still out there.
Yeah.
And I continue to say that the talent pool is the greatest of all time, bar none.
Yeah. You know, Lacey, when you look at someone like Maserati, what has your relationship been with her, and have you seen that growth and that confidence in her? And maybe is, you know, there a little bit of a friendly competition that has kind of given her that opportunity to raise up to, you know, to be on the same level as you? Or are you trying to be on the same level as her?
Well, inside the ring, I'm not a big fan of Maserati. I can say that right now. It's like she's trying to get to my level at this point, because she is always coming to me and asking these questions. And I love Maserati. I think she has grown so much since I first met her a year ago, you know. So I really do enjoy getting to watch her grow and watch her matches and help her out a little bit. She really is a sweet person, you know, going outside of wrestling. But watching her grow has been fantastic. She's picking up on these little things, and she'll go to Tom and ask questions. She'll come to me and ask questions. She wants to learn as much as possible.
Yeah.
So.
And Joe, when you see someone like Maserati, you know, she was developing very, very, you know, I guess rapidly after she got back from China. Is having someone like Lacey there to kind of push the other games up of people like Maserati, people like Sandra Moon, is that something that has been kind of like an extra credit? Like, you know, hey, not only do we have a good wrestler, but damn, all the other wrestlers now are stepping up their game?
Well, they have to, because in all honesty, before Lacey was there, you know, Maz and Sandra Moon were going to be battling to be the top woman wrestler in FSW. And, you know, I don't know how they took it personally, you know, that Lacey walked in and within a few months, she basically jumped over everybody. And that was for no other reason than she was primed and ready. They weren't at that level yet. So whether that was a wake-up call to them to say, hey, you know what? I know we're good, but we need to be better. You know, it's that same thing about the complacency. When you're the best person in the room, it's hard to be motivated to get better than that when you're the best person in the room.
Yeah.
When now you're the second best person in the room and you have an ego because most people in wrestling want to believe that they deserve to be in a higher spot. I have never met anybody who's like, you know what, Joe? I really think I should be on the pre-show match instead of the main event. I have never heard that to this day, and that'll come from, you know, our favorite guys, the Suavecitos. You know, no matter their win-loss record, you know, if you put them in the main event, they're going to have the banger of the night. So when it came to Maserati and Sandra, the thing with Cassandra, what Sandra Moon was, she also got injured right at a key time where she was out and she was climbing the ranks. But her being injured obviously wasn't good for her personally, but it gave her time to step back, reevaluate, and she came back. And now she's taken that position of a top babyface role. You know, she is a young girl. People like her. She's got a bubbly personality, and she's somebody people want to get behind. So more recently, we've involved Lacey with Sandra Moon and, you know, Jay Vidal, you know, in working some matches and getting, you know, who's giving who the rub? That's right. The question. It's like Jay Vidal is extremely over. Hey, he's in with Lacey, who's extremely over. Sandra Moon, they got really behind. So all of a sudden you had a super team that whoever they wrestled was going to get heat no matter what they did. Yeah. So, you know, and Sandra had to sit on the sidelines, and she basically sat on the sidelines while Lacey Ryan was just, you know, climbing the ranks, not climbing the ranks in FSW, but climbing the ranks where she was getting known for her wrestling ability throughout the United States.
Lacey, when you think of Damian Drake and Matt Vandegrift, do you look at them as someone that, or a team, the Unguided itself, that might possibly be missing a female to their group?
You never know. You know, we've tried throwing that out there a few times. You know, the boys and I have great chemistry. I think it would work out really well.
You know, if you count a few times, like 1,000, then yeah, that's a few times.
We're trying to make it happen.
What's your thoughts? You know, I think a lot of wrestling fans have been a little skeptical or trashing something like a group like Retribution in WWE, and you have, you know, a group of, again, like 3-4 guys and Mia Yim. Do you think that dynamic, because a lot of times in the past now, if you think about the wrestling factions, there haven't been that many factions that have had active female wrestlers. They've had valets. But do you think that that's a role that, you know, with intergender wrestling being something that's a little more accepted mainstream now, that you know, can see more factions having female members in the future?
I hope so. I really do hope so. Just, you know, I'm a huge fan of intergender wrestling. Every show I pitch to wrestle a guy, you know, and Joe has to think about it. I'm sure I get on his nerves about it. But I think it would be fantastic if girls were more part of male factions, you know, getting to play around with the guys and, you know, take it to a whole new level.
Joe, have you ever had that thought of you know, someone who can actively wrestle in a faction who is a female to kind of bump that faction up a bit?
We've never had an issue with Lacey and being that person, but it also has to be done right.
Right.
You know, the question becomes with the Unguided, are they liked or are they disliked? Lately, it seems like they're disliked because of their feud with Death Proof. You know, if you're trying to make them a heel faction per se, Well, now, what has Lacey got to do to all of a sudden be accepted in that role? So, and again, when we're running smaller shows and we can't, you know, bring it to fruition at Sam's Town, there's so many things that are on pause that unfortunately things that we may have wanted to do or may have done kind of gets held off because you're like, well, did you really want to do this in front of 59 people?
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? And there's certain things, it's kind of like holding off the tag title match. You know, it's like holding off the major feud with Ice Williams and Funny Bone. It's like, you know, whether we have a monster show at the school, because again, I don't think 6 months from now we'll be able to do Sam's Town.
Right.
But we still have plans to, say, do No Escape Inside the Cage. We're hoping in January, maybe February, maybe March. It doesn't matter. But we're hoping it opens up enough to where maybe we could put 150 people. And then at least we're playing to the masses and we're having this huge show and there's four title matches and maybe there's two title changes. And now it becomes, okay, this is going to set the tone for 2021.
Yeah.
But as the numbers continually grow up, no matter how many people are wearing masks, it is what it is. And, you know, a lot of people think when in January, when there's a change, that there's going to be even more restrictions. So, you know, who the hell knows?
Nah.
You know, I can only go day by day. And some days are shittier than others. And then some days there's some positive stuff. Like, you know, GCW did a closed show at the venue. So it got some money for some wrestlers. We had Sepha, Damian Drake, Vandegrift. You know, they all got to work the show, you know, and it was good for them. And Chris Bay, of course. And then we had a all-women show that had a few of our women on it, as well as Chris Bay. And they did a closed set, and, you know, GCW was fantastic. You know, they did $15,000 in donations for the show that's supposed to be split amongst the wrestlers. So, you know, I got to hit up Vandegrift and especially Damian Drake since I got him booked on that show. I cut. You know, we gave... You know, if I knew they were going to raise that much money, I wouldn't have gave them a discount for the venue. You know, yeah. Like they were going to rent our ring and they were going to do the venue somewhere else. But then they couldn't have fans. So he hit me up and I'm like, hey, you know what? You're renting the ring. It's less work for us to move it anyway. So we gave him a sweet, sweet deal. Yeah. You know, but it's like, shit, if you're going to make all that money,
right,
asking for more than I would have got. But eh, I would have been happier with close to what we would normally charge for something.
Right.
Right.
Lacey, who in wrestling, and it could be past or present, male and female, have been your two go-to wrestlers that you just, you know, you either want to sit down and just watch and absorb or just excite you as a fan?
Eddie Guerrero, hands down. I watch Eddie Guerrero all the time, and I watch the way he moves, the way he acts, his mannerisms. Everything about Eddie Guerrero I absolutely love, and I wish he was still around to where I could just pick his brain and stuff, yeah. You know. But definitely Eddie Guerrero is the top one. As far as the female goes, I was always a big fan of Victoria, Jazz. Right now I'm a big fan of Becky Lynch. I think it's amazing what she has accomplished, you know. So those females made a pretty big impact in wrestling, and it's fun to watch them.
You know, someone like Eddie, one of my favorite things to watch about him is that you can see that he's actually having fun in what he's doing. Yeah. Does that translate for you too when you go in the ring, even though you know you have a job to do and you're doing that job to perfection, you can also just take those moments to either, you know, just kind of laugh at yourself or like, oh, you know, shit.
Oh yeah.
What's that like for you?
I have a blast every single time I'm in the ring. You know, any chance, any time that I'm in there, it's my favorite time of the day. I hope that it shows to where fans know that I'm having a great time wrestling, you know? But that's, if I'm not having a great time, then why am I doing this?
Right. Right.
So this, it's what I love to do. It's all I want to do, and I'll continue to do it as long as it's fun.
Joe, favorite Lacey match that she's had to date?
Definitely not the Taya match.
I'm going to need a rematch of Taya.
Definitely. I'm going to say I think the Tessa match and the one that she didn't do with us with the Jordan Grace match at Impact, that may have been my favorite match, because you expect things when you're watching matches, especially when you're putting your, you know, you're booking the show, you're booking the match. Hey, this is what we're looking for. With the Jordan Grace match, I didn't expect Lacey to really get much, you know, in a lot of cases. It was kind of like when Chris Bay first came into Impact, it was like he was in a tag match. He had one move on the Rascals and he was done. And then the next time they used Chris Bay, he had like a 15-minute back and forth with Daga, where you were like, oh, okay, that was the turning point. That's when you knew. And like, that was the point where it was like, you know, we really have something special, and now people are knowing about it. So as much as I like the Tessa match, the Jordan Grace match was the moment, because it was our girl doing it on the national stage and now showing the world what she can do, which is always great for FSW, because we've had this lineage, you know, of champions, and now we finally have that lineage in a woman's champion.
And Lacey, the same question, and I'll just make it easy to start off. Was that your favorite match to date?
I wouldn't say it's my favorite just because of the amount of matches that I've had since then. You know, right. I love wrestling Tess and I love wrestling Jordan Grace. But because of this one person that I've been wanting to wrestle for so long, Damian Drake, as of right now, it's one of my favorites just because we have such a close bond and he's just fun to work. Yeah. You know, as far as that goes, Damian Drake right now. But definitely Tessa Blanchard and Jordan Grace. Top three right now, as we wrap up here,
Lacey, what does Joe DeFalco mean to you, and what is your favorite thing about Joe?
You're gonna make me say it, aren't you? I'm a big fan of Joe. I do love him. I love how honest he is. Tom and I were just talking about that last night. You know, if I want an honest critique from Joe, I will definitely get it. A bunch of people will always, they'll come up to me, hey, great match. You did a great job. Like, dude, I was in the match. I know how it went. You know, Joe's just going to give you an honest evaluation of his thoughts, and I really respect that, and it's one of my favorite qualities about him.
So, Joe, what is your honest thoughts and opinion on Lacey?
Well, first off, I'm going to say, because I talked about it a couple of weeks ago, I had written out a promo for her before the match with Maserati, okay? Because I felt it was going to generate a good vibe of their past, present, and future. And both of them went in there and pretty much didn't say anything I told them to say. And I didn't say it word for word. I said, say it as Lacey Ryan. I said, this is kind of the gist of what I want. So when she goes to a major company, she better listen to them, because, you know, fire her. I would never fire her, because she is by far the best woman wrestler I have ever seen. It's very difficult for me to say, oh, man, what a great women's match, you know. And we're very fortunate, because Sandra Moon has improved immensely. She is going to be awesome. And Maserati is got her personality, her character, everything down, and now she's become a really good worker. But this, bar none, when anybody talks about women wrestling in FSW's history, you know, there's a high mark there. And even before Lacey came in, I figured, you know what? If she sucks, it doesn't matter. We got Tom Howard too, so it was kind of a deal. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I'm charging for $50 to train, and I got Tom Howard coming around every couple of days. And it was like, wow, we hit the jackpot. She was actually really, really good, and we had Tom Howard. So, you know, who can ask for more?
Yeah, I would agree. No doubt. And, you know, it's just amazing. The circumstances, how everything just kind of fit, and the success that, you know, you've had in your growth. I'll tell you, one of my favorite things is being able to just sit in a class and watch you work. It's just, you know, it's one thing to see a match, you know, that's the show, everything's, you know, you're doing so many different things. But when you sit and you watch someone like you, you can see your brain isn't going and trying to, okay, do I do this? Do I do that? What do I do with my stuff? No, your brain is just three steps ahead. You already see it ahead. And that is the phenomenal part about watching you, you know, train and watching you wrestle, is that you are absolutely have that tunnel vision. It shows with your, you know, everything you do, from your entrance to your exit to even the way you sit and listen and watch other people in class too, which is phenomenal. And, you know, I'm excited to see maybe a Estrella Lacey match in our future. And, you know, maybe Damian Drake gets involved and, you know, there's your feud.
Well, she's been pitching the match against Matt Vandegrift because she's already had the match with Damian Drake. So.
Yes.
True.
Yes. We're trying to make that match with Matt happen as soon as possible.
You know, they've had the empty arena match between each other about 3,000 times. I'm not sure why they want to wrestle again, but, you know.
There's a difference between empty arena and performing in front of a live crowd. Much more fun.
Final question, Lacey. If you could pick one thing, just one thing about Las Vegas, what is that one thing that you've really loved about this city since you moved here?
And don't say the governor.
Oh my God. Don't even get me started on that. Wrestling. My life, it's all about wrestling. That's what it revolves around to. Wrestling and working out. You know, the strip's cool. Casinos are cool. I'm not much of a gambler. I don't drink. You know, I'm not into any of that. So wrestling is my favorite thing. You know, my connection with Las Vegas will always be with FSW and professional wrestling.
I know that you guys have done this a little bit, but how have you liked the hiking aspect and the views from the trails and the hills and everything?
You know, it's gorgeous. When you get outside of the city and you go to like Red Rock and things like that, Vegas has some gorgeous sights. It's amazing, you know.
I went to Red Rock Casino. I didn't see many great sights from the tower myself.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, maybe try going outside and walking around.
You know, okay.
Just saying.
I didn't see the mountains there. I saw the casino. And I saw the baseball stadium from the hotel.
See, that's a pretty view.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you on, Lacey. I hope the fans got to be entertained a little bit, got to hear you know, a little bit about you know, how your experience has been with FSW since you got here last year. And you know, I know the fans appreciate you and are really looking forward to you know, what you'll bring in the future. And I know Joe.
Before we go, Matt.
Yes, please, Joe.
I'm going to make you aware of it, and now I'm going to make Lacey aware of it because she doesn't even know. Mm. We've talked about bringing back From the Vault, which is like an in-depth thing, and we're actually in the process of trying to get something going so we can start doing something with Lacey as a little feature of her time in FSW and her career and Tom and all that other stuff. you know, there's a few different people that we've really earmarked for it. We've pretty much done a Chris Bay one that we need to, you know, finish up. But Lacey is the longest reigning women's champion. And, you know, probably a Damian Drake just because of his longevity here and the success he's had early in a tag team, later as a singles wrestler, and now back again in a tag team. So, you know, we're looking forward to producing a lot of content for the FSW Network that's coming soon.
Nice.
Nice. That's awesome. Can't wait to watch it.
Lacey, how do you feel being, you know, at this point in your career, already having retrospectives done on your work?
Mind-boggling.
You know, she would have never thought that hanging out with Stevie Slick. You know what I mean?
Oh, God.
That's a whole nother show, my friend.
Yes, that is a whole nother show.
Well, on that, everyone, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Please remember to, you know, subscribe to the FSW Network once it gets up and running, but also check them out on Fight TV, check them out on YouTube, eventually MyTV LA or LV, I'm sorry.
MyLV TV,
yeah.
Still trying to finalize that, hoping for the new year.
So there's a lot of stuff going on out there that you guys can, you know, take in and watch, you know, Lacey's career kind of evolve through, you know, the stages.
Through hard work and Joe DeFalco, Lacey Ryan is finally. Yeah.
Joe DeFalco has a big part in doing things. My career.
Well, when you're in a 100,000 seat arena. And Joe is texting you to get in. Will you pick up the phone at that point?
Yes, I'll always pick up the phone for Joe DeFalco.
That's right. I even got my return message here from my good friend Matt Hardy.
Ah, look at that.
While we're talking, I'm working on other business as we speak.
Woo!
He's always working hard.
I love it. Well, fans, stay tuned because you never know if Joe DeFalco has something cooking with Matt Hardy or if
he knows.
Or if he's just going to be deleted. Delete. Delete.
Matt owes me one. No delete on this end.
All right, everybody.
I'm ready to cash in the chips on Matt Hardy.
So basically, you're all in?
I'm all in.
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, that has been the DeFalco Files for this week, and we'll see you next time.